Support for this KQED podcast comes from Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts, a part-time program offering adults the opportunity to earn a graduate degree in interdisciplinary study. Information session October 1st, mla.stanford.edu.
Stories about when life takes an unexpected turn.
I thought, oh my God, is this my brother? I didn't ever think he had it in him.
That's On the Leap, a new podcast from KQED, launching October 6th.
Good morning. This is the California Report. In for Queen of Kim, I'm Penny Nelson. California's parks have been on a wild ride. 4 years ago, the state threatened to close 70 parks, then the public rallied to keep them open. Now a funding source that repairs and expands parks could expire at midnight tonight unless Congress votes to reauthorize it. Over its 50-year history, the Land and Water Conservation Fund has pumped nearly $17 billion into parks across the U.S. It's a government program funded by profits from the oil and gas industry. Elizabeth Goldstein of the nonprofit California State Parks Foundation says this state has benefited more than any other.
To have this funding source dry up would be a very sad commentary on the federal government's commitment to parks and open spaces all over the country, but especially here in California.
The program has helped buy tens of thousands of acres for national parks like Sequoia and Pinnacles. The fund also repaired a pier in the San Francisco Bay and fixed a broken sewage system that closed down a state beach near Santa Barbara. If the program expires, Goldstein says finding the money for future park projects could be challenging. Lawmakers against the program say it no longer focuses on local projects and funds too many federal projects instead. Los Angeles County is moving ahead with a plan to create a health super agency. County supervisors voted unanimously yesterday to combine the Department of Health Services with the Departments of Mental Health and Public Health. Supporters say that move will actually cut down on bureaucratic red tape. Putting the $8 billion health system under one agency could reduce the amount of paperwork for thousands of residents served by the county and make that information easier to share. Critics counter that the reason a separate department was created to serve the mentally ill in the late 70s was because those residents were not prioritized by the county. Colon cancer is the third leading cause of cancer-related deaths in the United States. But researchers in Los Angeles are finding that plenty of Californians at risk for the disease are still choosing not to get screened for it. As KCRW's Avishai Artsy explains, African Americans are especially vulnerable.
Each year, about 140,000 Americans are diagnosed with colon cancer, and more than 50,000 die from it. That's bad news, but for African Americans, it's even worse.
African Americans are more likely to get colon cancer. They're more likely to have advanced stage of disease when they're diagnosed with colon cancer. They're more likely to die from colon cancer, and they have shorter survival after diagnosis with colon cancer.
That's Dr. Fola May. She's at UCLA and Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. She's a co-author on a recent study that took data from adults between 40 and 80 years old who have a parent, sibling, or child that's had colon cancer. Of that group, only 3 out of 5 had been screened for colon cancer themselves.
That's already a big problem.
Dr. Brennan Spiegel is the director of health services research for Cedars-Sinai and co-authored the study.
But then when we drilled down into that group and looked at racial and ethnic disparities, we found that African Americans were 71% less likely to get screened than white Californians. So this is an even bigger indictment.
You'd think relatives of a colon cancer survivor would want to get screened, but take the case of Cordell Harper. He's 67 and African American. 14 years ago, he was diagnosed with colon cancer. He underwent surgery and chemotherapy.
Several times, you know, I got sick. Lost a lot of weight, couldn't taste my food.
Harper has 3 brothers, and they all refused to get colonoscopies.
So if having a brother get colon cancer doesn't make you want to get a colonoscopy, what will?
Having issues, you know, and it may be too late then.
Harper's brothers are all over 50. That's the age the American College of Gastroenterology recommends people start getting colonoscopies. But they say African Americans should start getting them at 45, and those with a family history of colon cancer at 40. Part of the reason Harper's brothers won't get screened has to do with the stigma of the test itself. Dr. Folamay says that's a common concern.
Men in our focus group study and men in other studies have said, I do not want any sort of procedure where I have to have any sort of instrument that's placed into my behind. And that was a persistent theme throughout our focus group studies, and we've seen it in the literature and other people's work as well.
That was the case with Michael Stennis, who died of colon cancer in 2003. I met his wife, Erin Stennis, at a Relay for Life cancer event in LA this summer. After he found blood in his stool, a gastroenterologist told him to get a colonoscopy.
And when he found out what a colonoscopy was, he said no one was going to do that to him. And so he literally sucked up the pain for about 6 years. And it got to the point where I found him one day hunched over in a closet in our home.
Researchers say many patients, especially African Americans, are never told to get screened for colon cancer. Dr. Spiegel's team is planning a follow-up study to see if the Affordable Care Act, which fully covers preventative tests like colonoscopies, will make any dent in the racial disparity of colon cancer outcomes. For the California Report, I'm Avishai Artsy in Los Angeles.
Avishai reported this story as a 2015 California Health Journalism Fellow at USC Annenberg School of Journalism. And that's the California Report for Wednesday, September 30th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from Robotham International, providing strategic tax, accounting, and business advisory services to global families, entrepreneurs, and venture-backed companies. Robotham.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And Wharton San Francisco's Executive MBA program, delivering a rigorous academic experience immersed in the unique Bay Area ecosystem and access to a globally connected network. Wharton.upenn.edu.